All right. I think I'll begin now. First, thank you for coming to this talk. My name is Sunil Agarwal. I'm a program manager with SQL Server team. And for 2016, I was responsible for the column store technology that you see with 2016. Before I begin, can you show by raising your hand how many of you know about column store? Okay, I see around 50% of you know about column store. Actually, that is pretty exciting. How many of you are using column store in production, say with 2016 or 14? Nobody. Okay, so now I'm disappointed. Okay, all right. What about 2012? The column store technology was available in 2012. Okay, so it is fair to say that you guys know about the technology, but it is not being used in production. All right. So what I'll do in this presentation is just go over a very high-level view what column store technology is and why does it give such a good performance, okay? And then we will dive into what changes we have made in this technology from SQL Server 2014. And we have done significant amount of work, and I'm sure you'll be excited to know about those things. So before I do anything, I want to show you a quick demo what the query performance is with and without column store, okay? So let me go back to my Madden Studio. I don't know if this font is too small for you or it is okay. I'm gonna make it bigger here. So what I did was, the column store technology is designed for analytics. You use column store technology in your data warehouse. In a data warehouse, as you know, a traditional schema is star schema, right? You have a fact table, and you have multiple dimension tables, right? And the fact table is the one that is the largest in a typical data warehouse. And our recommendation is that you use column store for the fact table to reduce its size because it gives extreme compression. On average, we see around 10 times compression of the data. And also speeds up query performance in a big way. Now, we have seen some query performance improvements up to 100 times. That sounds unrealistic, but we have seen those kind of query performance. But it will depend on your workload and on your hardware. So what I have here is, I have a table which you can see is called Fact Reseller Sales Table. This table, in this example, it is not column store table, it is a row store table, all right? And I ran a query which is reasonably complex. If you look at the query, I go up here, you can see it is doing three joins with three different dimension tables and the fact table, right? When I ran this query, it takes like around 80 seconds to run, so I did not want to wait here and for query to run, but I wanted to show you what the numbers looked like, okay? And the numbers were, it took like, I'm running on a 4-core machine, it took 73 seconds to run this query. Now, 73 seconds is not a lot of time. It's like 1 minute and 11 seconds or 13 seconds. But I want to run the same query on a table, and the only thing I've done is made it column store table, all right? So I'm gonna go back here, and I'm gonna run that query on column store.
How big is the table?
This table, I'll show you. Just give me a second. I'll enable the query plan and you will see. So what you actually have to do, the column store index is just an index. So you create a clustered column store index on your table. That's all you need to do. And the query will run without changes, okay? So if you have a traditional cluster index and you want to change that table to use column store, what you do is create clustered column store index and drop existing. And then we will just change the storage format of the table to column store. So I did that. Again, that takes some time, so I did not do it. I'm not gonna do it on the stage. And now I'm gonna run the same query, and you will see that I changed the name of my table, Fat Seller Sales, and I had a name called CCI, Cluster Column Store Index, all right? So that's what I'll do. And let me just connect this table to the right database because, okay, so I'm gonna connect to this database. All right. And then, so first question that was asked, how big is this table? Let's just go there and see it. So I go here, and I'm expanding the table. And this is my table, right? So first thing I want to show you, if you look at the indexes, you see this table has a cluster column store index, right? And if I look at the properties of this table, and I go to storage, I think it has a large number of rows, but I don't remember exactly at this time. Okay. It has row count of around 12 million, right? It has 11, right. It is around 12 million rows on this table, right? So now I'm gonna run the same query, and notice I did not do any change to my query, I'm just gonna run it just after creating a clustered column store index. Okay. I'm gonna go to the right place and same query, and I'm gonna run it. And what you will see is this query will run in around 7 to 8 seconds, which if you compare, something was running in 73 seconds, and now it finished in here, it took like 8 seconds, right? So that's the speed up I'm seeing on my machine. And as I said, what we have seen is that many customers are seeing even much, much better performance. So the column store technology is actually a pretty powerful technology if you are looking for your data warehouse to speed up the query performance and at the same time reduce the storage space taken by your database. Now the question is, how does column store does that? And the column store, I'm going to tell you why column store is so important. You know, in the traditional systems, the data was organized as rows, right? When I say data organized as rows, it means when you have a row, you're storing all the columns for that row together, right? So if you have a table, you insert rows. The rows come into some pages, like I'm showing you the pages here. Let's say 200 rows fit per page. Page gets filled up, you go to the next page, and so on and so forth, right? Now, the interesting thing about the row store is, if I want to fetch a row, and I want to retrieve column C1, the first column, I need to fetch all the columns for that row, because all the columns are stored together, right? Now, this kind of a storage format works extremely well for transactional workload, because in the transactional workload, you are, say, for example, creating orders, you want to check the status of an order, so you are fetching a very small set of rows. But when you come to analytics, in systems, you have, I'm showing 11 million rows, but that is nothing. People are running analytics on tables with hundreds of millions of rows, okay? Large number of rows. So the question is, when you want to process that large amount of data, the row store format does not scale well. And I'll tell you why. So what column store does, it stores the data, instead of rows, it stores them as columns. So in this case, I'm showing you a table has 5 columns, C1 through C5. And what we are doing is we're storing column C1 as one unit, C2 as one unit, and so on. Now the then you store the column as a single unit, what happens is a lot of values are very similar because they come from the same type domain. So you can get very, very good compression, right? So what we have seen that with the column compression, you can get a lot more savings. That means when you're running a query, you're not as I/O bound as you would be without the column store, right? So you get extreme compression. The second benefit is because we are storing data as columns, if I want to query only column C1, I do not have to fetch column C2 through C5. right? Unlike the row store, if I want to column C1, I have to fetch everything else because they come as a bag. Now, this is actually important because I just have to fetch the columns that I need for my query. That means I can reduce my I/O even more, right? In this example, if I'm just fetching one column out of five, I'm reducing my I/O by 80%, assuming all columns were of the similar size. I just want to give you an idea. So that is like item number two, why a query running on column store can give you a huge performance benefit. And the third thing that we have done, this is something unique to Microsoft, we have a special execution mode, which we call batch execution mode. Now that happens behind the scene. You do not have to worry about that mode while you're running your workload. And what batch mode does, you know, typically when you say you want to do an aggregate of sales, so say, for example, you are saying select some sales on this product for this quarter, okay? When you do the sum on sales, the way query execution works in a normal case is you get a row with the sales value, you aggregate, get the next row, aggregate, and so on, right? Now imagine if you have to aggregate 100 million values like that, it'll be very slow, right? Instead, what we do in the batch mode is we say, give me next 1,000 values. We will aggregate them. Give me the next 1,000 values. So you can see, instead of processing one value at a time, we are processing a lot more values at a time. And that can speed up our query performance 4 to 6 times. So that is something unique to Microsoft, and that is one reason we are actually the industry leader in this technology. So one concept that I want to clarify here, you know, you see something called row group, right, on the right side? So imagine you have 100 million rows, okay, let's say in the table, and 5 columns. So I can choose to compress one column, C1, and the C1 will have 100 million values, right? Because I have 100 million rows. I can store that as one unit. And now when I want to fetch it, I have to fetch the whole thing. And in many cases, you don't need all 100 million rows. You need a subset of those. So what we decided to do was we broke those rows into units of 1 million. And that unit is called row group. So when you think of column store, you can think of you have one or more row groups. And each row group consists of 1 million rows on average. I mean, it could be lower, but 1 million is the maximum. Within each row group, like in this example, there are 5 columns, right? So this column, so you will store for that row group, you will store this column, C2 column, and so on, right? This is how you will store. And these columns within each row group are stored as a single storage entity, okay? So that means for this example, I have assumed 2 million rows because I have 2 row groups, 5 columns each, so I have 10 segments. Now these segments are stored as a lob data type inside SQL Engine, okay? So now what happens is when you want to run your query on column C1, let's say we figure out we just have to read row group 1, not row group 2. We will just fetch the first segment for column C1 from row group 1, and we are done. Okay, so that allows us to run the query even faster because we do not have to process large amount of data. Okay, now other interesting thing about because we are storing data as lob, the whole column store data does not have to be in memory. Okay, we fetch the data as needed. Now, it is possible if you are running some queries which are frequently on certain data, that columns or segments will be in memory, right? I'll give you one more example. Let's say I'm doing sales processing, and I'm processing last quarter of data, and that's a very common quarter you're processing the data. The chances are that data will be in memory, but not other things, right? So those are the things to note on this column store. Now, one thing that I wanted to share with you is the column store technology with SQL Server 2016, as well as 2014, is giving us the record performance for TPCH benchmark. Some of you who may not know what TPCH benchmark is, industry standard benchmark for data warehouse is TPCH. And if you look at the number, this is for 10 terabyte database running on a single node, okay? Microsoft has the top four numbers in that column store technology for data warehouse. And I will show you one number was released as recently as February of this year, right? So that's 2016. So it's pretty exciting, and these numbers were run on SQL Server 2014, all right? In 2016, we did a lot more performance improvements to column store. And here's an interesting point. We ran the same benchmark on the same hardware, and the only thing we changed, we moved from SQL 14 to SQL 16. And what we are seeing is additional 40% improvement in the performance on top of what we got for 2014. So what you are getting with 2016 is even a better version of column store than what you had for 2014, again, without changing anything. So that's the power of 2016 with column store. Now, so I want to talk about three things in my presentation. One is, any data warehouse, how do you load the data, right? And then the query performance. And I also want to talk about some functional changes we have made to column store technology based on the feedback that we got from our customers who are using SQL Server 2014 in their production environment. So column store actually is a very complex structure. Okay, I was showing you in a very simple way that you have data stored, column stored as single units. Now, that's not the only thing that we store with column store. We also need to manage the data as it's coming in. So I'll give you an example, right? If I insert a row, a new row into my column store, I can't really compress it, right? I mean, you can't really compress one row. You need to have more rows to compress. You agree, right? I mean, one row, what can you compress? So what we do is we collect approximately 1 million rows into a row store, which is what I'm showing you by yellow over there. And that is called a delta row group. Remember I was talking about you have row groups, and within row groups you have segments, right? The one with the maroon color I'm showing you, those are the compressed row groups because they are stored as columns. The delta row group is shown as horizontal, so that is a row group with the rows. So what we do is, as you insert the rows, they don't get compressed. We store them into a delta row group, okay? Once the size of delta row group becomes 1 million rows, at that time, something happens in the background which closes that delta row group and compresses it. Because we, in our experiments, we found that if you compress 1 million values together, you get very good compression. Okay, if you do 2 million, you get even better compression, but differential is so low, we basically chose 1 million. Now, this is a magic number for us. If you look at Oracle 12c, they choose a row group size of 512k. So it is pretty much in the same ballpark figure. Now, so when you load the data, it is coming inside this delta row group. Now, the question is, people don't load data row at a time in a data warehouse. People load data using a bulk load case, right? You can say, I'm going to move this file into my column store. Now, in a BCP or a bulk insert command that you will do, you typically have to choose what is your batch size, right? Now, if you choose a batch size of less than 100,000, so this 100,000 is a binary 100,000, it is 102400, okay? 102400, right? That's 100,000. If your batch size is less than that number, the rows, we move them to the delta row group, the yellow guy. When you do that, you do not get any bulk optimizations. You do not get minimal logging when you do that, okay? So our recommendation is that instead of moving the data with a batch size of less than 102400, 100,000, I'm gonna use 100,000, but you know what I mean? We say you use a batch size greater than 100,000. So when you do that, we compress the data directly into column store that you see in the third row group that I'm showing you, all right? Now, when you do that, you automatically get minimal logging. So that's the most efficient way to load the data into column store. We did a benchmark in SQL Server 2014, and this benchmark still holds today because we have not done any more changes in the bulk load performance. We were able to load 600 gigabyte per hour on a 16-core machine. I think that's a pretty significant data load performance. And so this is pretty much listing what I talked about. All right. So minimal logging, you choose a batch size greater than 100,000, and you will be fine. In other important point, this is something some of you, how many of you use bulk load, BCP, or bulk insert? Okay, I see around 40% people raising hands. You know, one of the things to get minimal logging is you use tab lock, right? Because when you use tab lock, you can do multiple files together. And inside SQL Server takes a BU lock, right, which is bulk update lock. Now, interestingly, each of these row groups that you see inside column store, you can think of them as a pseudo table. Okay, these are almost like separate row stores or row groups. Okay, so you don't need to use tab lock to get minimal logging with column store. In fact, if you use tab lock, your bulk load cannot be done in parallel. So the scenario is, if you want to get parallel bulk load, you use no tab lock, and you use a batch size of greater than 100,000. Okay, that's what you get. So this is one scenario. The second scenario is, how do you load the data from a staging table? Now, why this is important? Because in many cases, you load the data into some staging table, you do some cleanup, and then you move the data from the staging table into the destination table, right? So you will do this, like you can say, insert into column store, right? The command I'm writing there, select star from the staging table, right? Now, the same rules apply here. If your batch size, the size of the staging table or the rows that you're moving is less than 100,000, it will land in the delta row group. And if it is more, it will go to the compressed row group, and you get the full optimization, minimal logging and everything. Now, this is fine, like the same point I'm making here. Now, interesting thing is, in 2016, we made this insert from a staging table to go in parallel. And here's the example. So we were working with a customer. They were running on a 32-core machine, and they had a staging table. And they wanted to move that data into column store, and they ran the command insert into column store, select star from staging table. And in 2014, it was single-threaded. So they had like 31 cores not doing anything, right? Because only it was single-threaded. Yes, you could do tricks like this. You can run 32 insert intos by selecting disjoint set of rows from the source table, but that is much more efficient, may not be possible in all cases. So now you can load the data from a staging table into column store in parallel. So this is actually very powerful, and I'm going to show you a demo on that. And I was telling you, the column store index is a complex structure. So this is what it looked like in SQL Server 2014, right? The one thing that you see on the left side is called delete bitmap. You may not be able to read it, but it's a delete bitmap. Now, what is this? Now, think about in these maroon boxes that you are seeing, assume I have million values, right? Now, if you come and say, I want to delete a row, I want to delete a row, it's not easy to delete a row in a compressed state, right? How do you delete the row? Because you have to, if you want to do it, you have to uncompress the data, delete that value, and recompress. Agree? And that will be a pretty expensive operation. So what we do for column store is, we do not remove the row from the compressed row group. We just mark a row deleted in a separate internal table. So delete bitmap actually is a binary tree that is hidden inside column store index. Okay, so this is a place where we are storing the rows that you have deleted. So now what happens when you run the query? SQL Server will fetch the rows from these maroon column store index and subtract the rows that are marked deleted. And that happens in the background, right? So this is what the column store index looked like. And this actually is working very well. Many, many customers are using this technology in production in 2014. And it simplified. It simplified the data warehouse in a very big way because this was the only index allowed on column, store, and table, right? I mean, you could not have any other index. So if you are running your analytics, what kinds of queries, you don't have to worry as a DBA or which indexes I need to create because you just need one index. So it worked actually quite well in many, many situations. But there were some cases where it did not run well, and I'm going to talk about that, right? Now, but there were some limitations. You know, the column store index, it we call clustered column store index, but there are no key columns, okay? It is, for all practical purposes, is like a heap, which is stored as columns, okay? I want to repeat that. The column store index, even though we call it an index, it has no key columns. Because you say create cluster column store index on this table, you do not give key columns. Now, what it means is there is no ordering of the data, right? I mean, if you create a cluster index or a non-cluster index, you give a key column, we maintain the order. In cluster columns index, there is no ordering. And again, the reason is, if I insert a row that goes, for example, inside this column, how do you do that? Because there is no insert, right? So these purple boxes, no, I'm saying purple, these maroon boxes are actually read-only. Once they get compressed, they don't change. You're just managing the deleted rows through the delete bitmap. So the problem was some customers who wanted to enforce primary key or foreign key constraint, they could not do it efficiently. Okay, so that was one limitation. Second limitation was if you wanted to update a row, like a delete a row we talked about, we took a lock at the row group level. So imagine this, you are locking 1 million values because you want to delete one row. Now, in many situations, that was not good. Think about, right? Page level locking versus row level locking. I mean, row level locking is superior to page level locking, right? And page has like hundreds of rows at most. And here you have 1 million rows, right? So that was a big problem, especially if you are loading data into your column store through merge operation. The merge operation says, if the row exists, I want to update, right? And if it does not exist, I want to insert. Now, if you were doing the merge operation in parallel, it got single-threaded, right? So those were the two big problems that we saw with our customers. And so what we did in 2016, I think this is something significant. What we do is, same structure as before, but now we allow you to create one or more non-clustered indexes. Think of these as your regular non-cluster indexes that you would create on a heap, right? So now with this thing, you can, in fact, enforce primary key, right? You can create a unique non-cluster index on column C1 where the table is stored as column store index, okay? So you can do that. So, and also it is very actually useful if I want to do a equality search or if I want to find a subset of rows, right? Now, in a worst case, here's an example. In the worst case, let's say you have 100 million rows and I ask you to find a row where employee ID is 5. I'm not saying this is the kind of query you will run on a data warehouse, but let's say if you have to find that. In 2014, you have to look all 100 million values because you don't know where it is, right? It's like a heap with no index. You have to scan the whole table. And you can imagine that will be very, very inefficient. Now, with the non-cluster index, if I create a non-cluster index on employee ID, it will tell me that this value is in this row group, and it is row number 20 in row group 5. So all we have to do is go to that row group and get the data, right? So the non-cluster column, non-cluster index on clustered column store is actually very, very powerful. Now, the other benefit that we got, was we can now enforce a row-level locking. So if I want to delete a row, I was telling you right before in 2014, you need to take a lock on the row group, but now we can just take a lock on the index row as a row group. And then you can just lock the row at a row level. So that is also very, very powerful. So So this sounds like a one slide thing, but this took us like more than a year to implement, because this is very complex technology for us to implement the concurrency as well as managing the indexes on the column store. So I want to show you some basic demo on the column store. So what I'm going to show you is first, yeah, I think I wanted to first show you, remember I was talking about two tables, the fact table that was stored as row store and the column store. Let me just look at the space taken. And what you will see in this example, that the first row shows you the row space taken by the row store table, and this one is with column store. So this is 2.5 gigabyte, and this is around half a gigabyte. So I'm saving a 5x storage. Now this is like a benchmark kind of a data, so you don't get as much savings. In typical environment, we have seen approximately 10 times, and sometimes more, so that's where we are. So let's first look at that loading the data into a staging table, all right? So I'm gonna turn the stats, everything off, and I'm gonna run something in a compat mode 130. Do you guys know what compat 130 means? Any raising of hand? I can take a minute to describe 130 compat, okay. So what happens is, many times, when customers want to upgrade, say they want to upgrade from 2012 to 2014, one of the big challenges of upgrade is they may see regression in the query performance, right? And people say, well, I upgraded, my query performance regressed, I'm not happy about that. So SQL Server introduced this concept called compat level. So if you are running 120 compat, that means you're using the optimizer and the cost model of SQL Server 2014. Compatible 110 is for SQL Server 2012. And Compat 130 is SQL Server 2016. So a lot of changes that we make to the query plans for, say, in this case, 2016, are only available if you use Compat 130. So that's the reason I'm using Compat 130. So I'm going to use it. And then I'm going to drop this table. This is like a temporary table I'm creating. And I use a lazy route to create this table. This is exact copy of my table called CCI test. This is a cluster column store index table, which I created for my test environment. And notice, I'm just saying create a clustered column store index on this table, no key columns specified, right? So I created the table. And now I'm gonna insert into this temporary table that I created with cluster column store index, and I'm loading the data from a staging table, and I'm saying load top 300,000 values, right? And I'm gonna enable the query plan. Now, in this case, I'm moving 300,000 rows into the column store index. So do you think it will be minimally locked? Remember, our rule was 100,000 rows or more, when you move to column store, it'll be minimally locked. You think it'll be minimally locked? Maybe or maybe not. I think it was a trick question. The thing is, let me run it. And what you will see that it is gonna run in parallel, unlike 2014, where it will run in single mode, right? So I have four threads, because I am running on a machine with four cores. Four threads are gonna pick up these 300,000 rows and insert, all right? So it did that, and if I want to look at a query plan, what you will see is that it is indeed loading the data in parallel. So four threads divided these rows into four groups, approximately 75,000 each. So that means they will land in the delta row group. Now let us look at what do we have in the delta row group. Okay, I come here and I look at delta row group. Now what I'm showing you, this is actually something very important. I'm showing you a DMV, which is called DB Column Store Row Group Physical Stats. This is a new DMV that we have in 2016. It tells you a lot more information about the column store. It helps in debugging in a big way. So I'm gonna run this guy. And what you see is that we got four delta row groups because there are four threads, and each of them landed in their own delta row group. So four threads that I have, they will not land on the same delta row group. Each thread will create its own delta row group, and it is done, right? So that's what you got. Now, if I run this command one more time, let me run this guy one more time. Same command. Like before, it will run in four threads, but since there are four delta row groups already created, they will not create new delta row groups. They will use the existing ones, okay? So after this command is done, if I see it, now you will see around 150,000 rows each in each of those delta row groups. So let's just go there, okay? You see that? 150,000 rows. Now, let's say, I want to compress them. I just want to force compress them, right? So what I could do, I will run this command, which is here, sorry. So what it is saying is, reorganize. You know, you have seen alter index reorganize. That's a command that we use for defragmenting a traditional index. You can run the same kind of command for column store for two things. One is to force compressing the data from your delta row group to compressed row group, if you want. In most common cases, you should just leave it to SQL Server to compress because it is waiting for them to have million rows. But if you want, you can compress them. So I'm going to do this. So it's going to force compression. And why did we introduce the force compression? Here is an example. We were working with a customer. He had 128 partition table, okay? And he was loading 100 million rows. And it so happened that each partition got a percentage, somewhere less than million rows, because 100 million rows, 128 partitions, you can imagine 100 million divided by 128 is less than 1 million, right? So they loaded that much rows, and they did not get any compression because everything was sitting in the delta row group. So we provided a command, and they did not have any more rows to come. There were no new rows coming in. So we said, okay, we will give you a command that can be used to force compress those row groups, right? So in this case, it has been compressed. And if I go back here, what you will see is I got four row groups which are now compressed. You see that? And there are four row groups which were the old delta row groups, and they are called tombstone state now because they will be cleaned up by the background process. Now, interesting thing is, this compression that I did it by forcing through reorganize command, right? So if you look at the DMV, it can even tell you why this thing was, how this was compressed. It was done by a command called reorganize. So when you're looking at your column store index, you can find out, okay, this compressed row group does not have million rows. Why? In this case, it was reorganized command. In some cases, it could be bulk load. Because your batch size was 150,000, you did the batch load, it comes and that. Okay. Now let me do this. Let me delete 30,000 rows. Now, as I was telling you, when you delete rows in a column store, we don't really remove the rows from the compressed store. Okay, we just create a delete bitmap and say this is deleted. I come here. And what you will see is that this row group number 7 still has 150,000 rows. We did not touch them. However, we created 30,000 rows as deleted rows. So we don't, of course, copy the whole row. We just keep the handle on the row to say this is deleted, right? Okay. So now what you got a column store index with a bunch of row groups less than a million rows, right? And some deleted rows. Now, this actually can become significant over time because now you have a lot of holes, a lot of wastage space because of deleted rows. So what you could do, and this is something new in SQL 16, you can run that alter index reorganize, which will defragment this index. Okay, so I'm going to run this command. And what it is going to do is it realizes that I have four row groups of 150,000 rows each, and the ideal size is a million rows, it may combine them into one big row group. And that's what would have happened here. So I'm going to show you. And you will see that I got 570,000 rows. Why? Because 30,000 were deleted. And the four compressed row groups I was dealing with, they got tombstone. Now, this is actually very powerful. This reorganize command is online command. Because as you are running your merge operations and sometimes you delete the rows, You do not have to rebuild the index as was the case with 2014. You can just run defragment command, and we will merge the groups where needed, or we will remove the deleted rows. Okay, very, very powerful. Any questions, or I carry on?
Can you get rid of the deleted rows?
I did, right? I did. Here, if you look at, the question was, can I get, remember I deleted 30,000 rows? And the compressed row group that you got on the line one has 570,000 rows. Remember, I had 150,000 rows each in my compressed row groups. I deleted 30,000 rows, so remaining is that. Everything else is gone. And you could do this operation online. Okay, this was, again, a very big ask from our customers. Beg your pardon? You can by running a reorganize one more time. I have not tried it, so you put me on a spot. Let me try it, okay? It should just go away. Because it is happening in the background, and I'm going to see here. I succeeded. Yeah, so it just went up. So what happens is in the background, there is a tuple mover task. Tuple mover is a background task that moves from delta row groups to compressed row group. It wakes up every 5 minutes. And what happens as part of its job, once it is compressing whatever has to be compressed, it says, are there any tombstones? It gets rid of them. All right. Now, I want to show you the third thing, which is the using the non-cluster index. Okay. I will drop this table. I'm going to create a new table. Okay. And notice, when I create this table, my fact table, I'm creating this, right? This table has a non-cluster index, right? On product key, non-cluster index. And at this time, this table is a traditional row store table, right? Because I did not say column store anywhere. Yes, so the question is, could you, first of all, the column store index works with partition table in such a very common scenario. And you can create a aligned non-cluster index on a column store, and you can build a partition level, just like you would do for a normal table. Everything just like that, right? So I create this table. Did I already create this table or no? I did, all right? So if I go back to my Object Explorer, and I look at my fact table, I think I have to refresh. Oh, it is here from the previous, okay. If I look at the index, notice it is saying it is a unique non-clustered index row store, right? Now, if I say I want to create a clustered column store index on this table, all right? No rows, it created a clustered column store index. In 2014, this command would have failed. This command would have said, well, there is a non-clustered index, you have to drop that index because clustered column store index in 2014 did not allow any other index. But now it succeeded, right? So if I go back, I think I executed the command, and I refresh my indexes. Notice I got a cluster column store index, and it also rebuilt for me the non-cluster index. So now you have a table with. So the acronym I use, you have CCI, which is Cluster Column Store Index, as well as NCI on CCI, okay? So that acronym becomes easier to talk. So now let's insert a row into my column store table, all right? If I insert the same row again, as you would expect, it will have a primary key violation. Now again, this was not possible in 2014. So this is just one simple example, but the point is, it is a very powerful tool to have a non-cluster index on a column store index, okay? I'll give you a final example on this one. This actually non-cluster index I had already created on my column store table, which is CCI test, okay, before this talk. If I run this query, select star from CCI test, where finance key is 10, before in 2014, this would have involved the full scan, most likely full scan of the column store, right? So let me run this guy here. And if you look at the execution plan, and you will see optimizer automatically chose the non-clustered index. Like all I have to do was I have to just read the row group that has this value, right? So pretty much that's what I wanted to talk about in terms of the functionality and new changes. Let me switch to my presentation on the performance, okay? And I realize I have 15 minutes left, so I will go through a little faster because these are actually hugely important things. So two very fundamental things about getting good query performance using column store are in this slide. So what I'm showing you is a column store table with two row groups, right? And you see these boxes of different sizes because each of the columns are compressing differently. That's pretty much what I want to show. Now, this table, as you can see, has six columns, right? Six columns and 12 segments, okay? So what I'm saying is select product key, sum of sales, where order based on some date, okay? So when you run the query, SQL Server already knows that you are picking up only three columns out of six. So it does not have to pick up the columns in the center, right? Right there, you reduce the I/O by 50% on top of what Column Store could give you, right? Now, the second thing is very important, and I think this is something I want to emphasize. Remember, Column Store index does not have any ordering, okay? Now, most common data that we see in the Column Store has a date time column, in the sense people are inserting sales from today, orders from today, and so on. So as those rows are coming in into the delta row group, they get compressed. So you can see the data is already coming in the time order, okay? Now this is actually very useful because if you say, show me the sum of my sales from last 1 month, and let's say you're keeping data for 12 months, we can only have to read the data from the last month. And the way we do it, each of those segments that you see, behind the scene, we maintain what is a minimum value and what is a maximum value. So for the date time column, we know the date for this is beginning of May, and end date for this segment, maximum value, is say 15th of May, okay? That means if my query is looking for data between 1st May and 15th of May, I just have to read this row group. I do not have to read anything else, right? So this is something called segment elimination or row group elimination, okay? So in this case, it says order key, whatever less. SQL Server behind the scene will figure out which row groups to read. In this case, it figures out I don't need to read the bottom one because the min and the max for the date column is not in that range, right? So then you get the segment elimination. And by doing this, you can get very good query performance. Now, other powerful thing about segment elimination is this. So let's say you are running a query which has, say, 20 predicates, like insane, 20 predicates. We can do segment elimination for each predicate on, say, predicate on column C1, predicate on column C2, and so on. We can figure out all the row groups that get eliminated because of those, because we know the ranges, and can run the query very, very fast. So what I'm saying is, the segment elimination or this thing is extremely powerful tool for very good query performance. And in many cases, the query predicate is such that is not really in time dimension. We actually have solved that problem using partitioning, right? So for example, one customer that I'm working with, they maintain the real estate information about houses across US. So we have partitioned the data on the state. Okay, on the state, because most time people search for the house, say, I'm searching in California, three-bedroom house, so-and-so, whatever not, so I just have to limit the search to that partition, right? So those things you can do. There are three more things I want to talk about. The batch mode processing we touched upon. So here, what we are doing is we are saying, you scan the data and apply the predicate. So the way we do it is, we apply the predicate in the batches. So we allocate some structure, which is 64K memory. In this case, I'm fetching three columns, C1, C10, and C14. those columns come, and we apply the predicate and then say which of those rows qualify, and then we send the same structure to the next operator. So basically the data is moving in the batch mode to everything, right? So this is how we get huge, huge performance gain. So not every operator which you use for data warehouse was enabled for batch mode. So when 2012 came out, some operators were in batch mode. Scan was one of those. In 2016, we added a lot more operators to be run in batch mode. So batch mode is your friend to get good query performance. Segment elimination is your friend, because if you get segment elimination, you're reducing amount of data that you have to query. Okay, something to look for in the query plan. So one interesting thing that I want to highlight here is single-threaded batch mode execution. Now, why this is so important? In 2014, batch mode execution was only allowed if the query was running in parallel. Okay, if you said DOP1, the operator ran in the row mode, which was not performant. Okay, now let's say you're running in production environment, and suddenly what happens is there is a lot of concurrent workload, and SQL query execution decides that this query, because of resource constraints, I'm going to run single-threaded. So the query that was running fine an hour ago because it was running in parallel mode, suddenly it is now running in single-threaded mode because of lack of resources. And on top of that, it was running in the row mode. So the query performance just tanked. And this is what our customer said: we have a performance cliff in the column store. So now with 2016, the query in single thread will run in batch mode. It is a very, very important thing that we did. We also allowed queries with multiple aggregates, multiple distincts to run in batch mode. That was not possible before. These are like some nuances. Window aggregates. Window aggregates are really, really common operators that you use in data warehouse. They were not running in batch mode. And with 2016, they run in batch mode. And I'll show you an example where we are getting, for some queries, not all, some queries, 300 times better performance for that query. Okay, it's just insane. Finally, the sort operator. Because in many cases, you will say, show me the sales order by something. The sort operator was not batch mode. And in 2016, it is in batch mode. So what I'm trying to say is we are getting a lot of performance improvements. In 2016, I showed you 40% over what we had in 2014 because we are adding all these operators in the batch mode. And that's not all. There are two more very important things I want to point out is aggregate pushdown. Now, what exactly is that? Imagine you're running a query, select some sales from column store, right? Some fact table. In 2014, query plan will look like something like this. You have a scan, you're scanning the rows in batch mode, and you are computing the aggregate, right? This is how it will be. So 10 million rows are flowing from the scan in the structure that I showed you, 64K byte structure, to the scan, and the aggregate is being done. In 2016, what we said, you know, instead of computing the aggregate at the aggregate node, could we not push the aggregate to the scan node? Right here, we push the aggregate to the scan node. So as we are scanning the rows, we are computing the aggregate. So in this example, there was nothing sent to the aggregate node, nothing. Okay, and we also said that I'm showing you through the dotted line the aggregate value. So if you run that query and aggregate was pushed down, we saw 4 to 5 times performance improvement on top of what was there because of batch mode. Again, this happens automatically. Now, aggregate pushdown has some conditions for it to happen. For example, it is only applicable when you have data type less than 8 bytes, less than equal to 8 bytes, and it is available for these operators, min, max, average, sum, and so on, right? Common operators. So again, this you get for doing nothing. The other thing that I want to talk about is the string predicate. I will not get to the demo, and what I will do is, if you send me mail, I will send you the demos to you, right? It is a very easy thing to try. Now, string predicate processing was very inefficient in 2014. So here I'm showing you a query where you can say, you know, select something, and you have a string predicate on a table with column store. And let's say column store table has 10 million rows. All 10 million rows will come to the filter, which is the predicate. And each of those values have to be compared, right? So there'll be 10 million string comparisons. You agree with that? 10 million string comparisons. And string comparisons are much more expensive than, say, integer comparison, right? So question was, how do we make this kind of predicate evaluation much more efficient? So what we did for 2016 is, you know, when you have a string column and you store in the column store, we don't repeat the string values in the segment. You remember I'm saying segment because string column will be stored in its own segment. What we do is we create dictionaries. Okay, we have a local dictionary and a global dictionary. So for now, just think there's a dictionary. So a value, let's say ABC, will be stored in string, and we will point a reference from the column to say, if it is ABC, we'll say string ABC is the dictionary entry 3. So we'll just write 3 there, and we will dereference the 3 and get to ABC, right? Now imagine that a value that you're storing has a repetition of 100 on average, okay? So if I have 10 million rows, and each value is repeated 100 times, so I got 100,000 rows, 100,000 unique values. You agree? 100,000 unique values. So now, in 2016, when you do a string evaluation, we do not compare the actual value of the column. We compare the dictionary values. So we will do 100,000 comparisons because those are unique 100,000 values. And by doing this, we know which values qualify. So in this example, I have reduced my string comparison from 10 million to 100,000, right? And that actually is huge. It can give the query performance improvement in a big way. Now, interesting thing is, remember I'm showing you 100,000 rows are flowing into the filter because they could not be evaluated at the scan node. These are the rows that are sitting in the delta row group because delta row group is like a row store. There's no dictionary there. So those rows have to still come to the filter. And that's how you do it, right? And the final thing that I wanted to show you is window aggregates, right? So the blue bar that you see is the query performance in the batch mode for window aggregates. And the orange one that you see is the query performance. This is the query execution time on the y-axis, okay? So you can see, again, by doing nothing, your query performance is improved in a very significant way, all right? So my time is actually, I'm running short, so I'm gonna skip the demo. And I want to say that we have done a lot of improvements in terms of supportability. We have many, many DMVs, new DMVs, I'm gonna go back here. New X events, new performance counters to make column store much more supportable. And also the last thing actually is important that in 2014, we did not support read committed snapshot or snapshot isolation transaction mode for column store on the readable secondary as well as on the primary. We did not. But now with 2016, we support both snapshot isolation and read committed snapshot. You can run those queries on the column store. And the key benefit is if you're running your environment in an always-on scenario with a readable secondary, you can offload your analytics even on the secondary. Because in the secondary, as you know, we behind the scene convert the isolation level to snapshot. You could not do that in 14, but now you can do that in 16, right? That pretty much wraps up my session on column store. As I said, I'm pretty excited about this technology. And my recommendation is you work with a lot of customers. You should try this. It's very easy to try. Just create the index, run the query, runs faster, you're done. It is as simple as that. All right? Thank you for joining me, and have a great day. Thank you.